Welcome to the latest episode of the R. Bill Simmons podcast. And we truly have a special one for you tonight because we are bringing on a attendee of the Russillo live show in New York from a couple days ago. This thing was all over Twitter. It was all over the subreddits. Russillo brings out his son, CP3. The crowd goes absolutely wild. The show was sold out. It may have been Russillo's apex moment, apex mountain. This was an incredible moment for the guy. We had a lot of fun covering it from the Twitter account. The subs obviously had a ton of fun. And clearly, the people that attended had the most fun. So we have him here, an attendee, Cowboys apologist. We'll call him Cowboys. What's going on, man? Thanks for coming on the show.
Hey, thanks for having me. Yeah, probably a little Apex Mountain for the pod too, because I shook Russillo's hand yesterday. So,
Ooh. Now you got that was had to be a strong shake, right? Very firm.
oh yeah, it was great. It was everything you imagine.
Now, is your hand a little sore? Because I did see those biceps and they were large. Russillo's been working out. We know this for sure.
Yeah. He definitely wore he had a better shirt choice than the Denver live show. I will say that.
You know, he people learn from mistakes, right? So he learned it. He heard from the crowd, from the audience. And you know what? Maybe he did a little yoga, maybe a little did a dieting, maybe what's that Ozempic? You know, throw all that together. Looked a lot better, plus had the much better shirt. So yeah, he came ready to go and I think he delivered a great show for you guys. That's where we got to start because, you know, so I'm, you know, we're hearing about this. Somebody tweets a photo or not a photo, somebody tweets a video out of everybody waiting in line hours before the show, sold out. So give us a little insight. So when did you get there? Did you wait in line? Were you there? And like it was it pretty much sold out as the pictures implied?
Yeah, so the ticket said doors at 6, show at 7. So I got there around like 5:45 to just kind of check it out. And there was a little bit of a line. I don't know, probably like 20 people in line. So I went ahead and hopped in line. And then around like 6:15, they let us in. The theater isn't really big, I'd say. I'm pretty bad at like estimating seats in terms of theaters, and they had chairs down, so I'd say probably like 300, 400 people. Yeah, it was pretty much full. There were a couple of empty chairs, but I mean, for the most part, it was packed out.
Now, give us the vibe of the attendees because, you know, we got, I mean, we have listeners of our pod. We know it's, you know, 95% male. The pictures of the line did have that, but you know what? That makes sense because ultimately those are the people that are interested in Russillo talking about sports. So are people just kind of jacked to see this guy? Are they huge NBA fans? Are they rocking on these Bill and Ryan and NBA pods? Kind of like, what's the discourse with the other people attending?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment. I did overhear some people online, pitching some fake trades, which was fun. I heard one, I forgot what it was. I think it was like Dame for Zion, and I was like, I really need to think about that. But yeah, it was in terms of like the crowd itself. I think that the video from the line is pretty indicative of how the crowd was. I want to get ahead of this though. There were 10 girls in attendance.
Ooh, nice.
Seven of them were either Ringer employees or like Kyle's wife and Sruti's sister were there. But yeah, so I just want to get out ahead of that.
Yeah, I mean, I did see that, and people were having fun with it on Twitter, of course, because why wouldn't they? But look, I mean, these are the people that are consuming the show. So, you know, that's what it is. And I remember, so like, and I'll lay it out for people too. You know, look, if you're a fan of a podcaster, and you're listening to somebody for 5+ hours a week, and he shows up in your city. I mean, it definitely makes sense to go because there is some chatter online about, oh, what kind of people would do this? No, I think it absolutely makes sense. And for context for the listeners, when I was living in New York, I went to a live Survivor watch party and then recording of a podcast after show recap. Fantastic. I mean, you meet people that are as into the show that you are. You talk to them. Yeah, you're talking about Survivor vote-offs in my case. people are talking fake trades in your case. So it's fun to go see the person. Obviously, you meet the person and talk with the person and then talk with the people there. So you mentioned you shook his hand. Yeah, what was the Russillo vibe with the audience?
It was really great, honestly. I did not get a chance to like look up the Denver venue and kind of see what it looked like, but I have a feeling it was a little bit smaller and maybe they weren't on a stage. But yeah, I mean, I can just kind of run through the show a little bit as well.
Yes.
So because I know they mentioned, I did listen to the pod today, just kind of skipped through to see what they were covering and see what kind of order it went through. But so we get in there around like 6:15, 6:20. And then, you know, I'm just kind of sitting down, like talk to some guys, was like talking basketball with some guys. We were trying to figure out who the guest was. There was word that Wimby was in town because he had just done JJ Redick's pod. But he was throwing out the first pitch of the Yankees game. So that seemed unlikely. And then there was thought of, oh, maybe it's Big Cat. But I think the Barstool guys are traveling. I threw out, oh, maybe it's JJ Redick, but I guess kind of with the Ringer connection, it wouldn't make a whole lot of sense. So yeah, I think a lot of people were surprised to see it was Chris Paul, but yeah. So kind of back to the timeline. So around like 7:05, Russillo kind of comes out, and is like, hey guys, like our guest is late. So we're going to switch things up a little bit. He's like, we're going to do life advice first. And then Q&A, and then the guest, if they're here. If not, we're just kind of roll with it. And honestly, like, I didn't know who the guest was, obviously, and I don't think anybody around us really did. But I was just – I was hyped anyway. I mean, I could have done, like, a listen to, like, an hour of life advice, especially with, like, live there. And the Q&A was great as well. So, yeah, then Ryan comes out. He does, like, a 7 to 10 minute kind of discussion at the beginning. It honestly it kind of felt like stand up a little bit. Mm-hmm. In the ways that like he kind of like he knew when to pause and knew how to work the audience. It was really cool. But yeah, he was just talking about how like, I mean, it's on the pod, but how he went to that Red Sox Yankees game in with his dad growing up. So yeah, that was cool. And then he brought out Ryan Cerruti. And then they jumped right into life advice. Back it up. So before they did life advice, he was like, hey, like we're going to go ahead and do a meet and greet. So Ryan kind of went up by the front of the stage and Cerruti and Kyle were kind of in the back. So when Ryan was up in the front, like kind of people were lining up and I lined up, shook his hand, got a picture, which was really cool. And yeah, so then kind of back to the show, they did the life advice and then the live Q&A, which it was really fun. The Q&A was pretty hilarious. And then at one point Ryan like jumped to the back real quick and then came back out. And then they did like one more question. And then Ryan was like, all right, here's our guest. Like my favorite basketball player of all time, it's CP3. And the crowd just erupted. I mean, we just, everyone stood up. Everyone was like clapping. We were freaking out. And then CP3 rocks out. And yeah, that was kind of the, But, and then after that, they, lights came on and everyone left. There were, CP3 is there promoting his book. And apparently somewhere there was a table of a bunch of free books. I didn't see it, so I didn't grab one. But then on our chairs, they had a little like hand towel that says it's the Ryan Russillo podcast logo on it. And then a little kind of like water bottle that says the Ryan Russillo podcast. So yeah, that was pretty cool as well.
Nice. You got some merch. I love that. Now CP3 and Russillo, take us inside the room. We saw the video online of what I thought was quite the hug. I mean, I think Russillo, man, he showed that hit like they're boys. So what was the relationship like from where you were at seeing Russillo and CP3 interact in person?
It was great because you could tell Russillo was like really into the interview. I mean, that's kind of obvious, but it was really cool to see him. Like, I mean, you know, with a normal pod, you don't see his facial expressions and you don't see his reactions, but seeing it live was really interesting because you could kind of see the stuff that CP3 got said that caught him off guard. Maybe like he didn't expect him to say that or like, you know, he truly didn't know. And I think there were some moments in the pod, like where Ryan mentioned that he heard that CP3 was trying to go to the Knicks to get with Melo when the Lakers fake or Lakers veto trade happened. I think that that's like an example of a moment that you probably would not get on a normal pod, which is really cool. And like interacting with the audience, I think it actually helped that we did the Q&A and the life advice first, because there was already kind of like this warmth with the audience, you know, like a lot of Knicks fans there. I did notice in the pod at one point, when Ryan asks CP3, hey, like, what are you thinking next? One guy did yell out the Knicks, and that's when CP3 was like, you never know. But yeah, like I don't think that that necessarily would have happened if that was the first quote unquote act of the show, you know?
Yeah. Interesting. So the guy, yeah, the guy even felt comfortable saying that.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a huge get. And I wonder like the friendship, I guess, because, you know, ultimately CP3 going to a live recording of a podcast with, you know, that he could do media, right? I think he was on Good Morning America a couple days ago or earlier this week, but that's not a that's a serious commitment to go to a podcast recording like this.
Yeah, it was a great get. I mean, Ryan did mention how like they were trying to figure it out maybe like during the Super Bowl, but that kind of fell through. But really, this was the perfect time because CP3 had his book and then the trade just happened. So there was kind of like a little bit of like an up in the air situation with his future, which was cool. And the joke about CP3 mentioning the Melo Atlanta jersey that landed so well in the room. We were like, all right, this is our guy. Like it really felt like he was like bringing everyone into the conversation.
That's awesome. Yeah. So I think you made a great point about, so he's doing his kind of stand-up routine, which not totally stand-up routine, but for somebody like Russillo, I think what's so great is that people have listened to him for so long that they're in on the joke. So like a big reason why it works is that people are feel like they're in on it. So that's nice. So like, did you get the vibe talking with people? Are these people, you know, are they consuming every Russillo pod or are they more casual? Kind of how did you, from the people you were talking to, what kind of vibe did you get?
Definitely a lot of just sports fans. Got like another basketball podcast recommendation from one of the guys I was sitting next to, which is cool. But yeah, just a lot of sports fans. And that was evident from like when I stepped in line, when I was hearing, you know, the fake trades. And yeah, I think just kind of in general, a lot of like Ringer fans as well. Some of the Ringer staff was there. Like I saw Kevin Clark in the back, saw some other people that I recognized, but yeah, it was, I think it was just a good mix of like sports fans slash like, oh, this guy has a pod talks a lot about sports, you know, kind of when I was talking with one of the guys about Big Cat, a couple of guys were like, oh yeah, maybe he'll be here. So, you know, I think that they all kind of run in some people's like kind of similar listening patterns as well.
Yeah, that makes sense. And certainly if you're listening to PMT, Part of My Take, you have clearly heard Russillo on that podcast, right? I mean, he's done some of the best podcasts with them. So maybe
he was on it today.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. So maybe you even have people there that have listened to a few of them. Maybe they've only listened to Russillo on PMT and they're like, heck, you know, let's go see Russillo. It'll be fun. You know, it probably wasn't that expensive to at least get the tickets in the first place. I don't know what the resale value was, but you know, drop a little bit, whatever. And then, you know, you get to see Russillo. I mean, he's a big name for as much as us on this podcast and the R. Bill Simmons community has given him a little bit of shit lately over some of the pods. The guy's clearly a massive name. And I think what was nice, what was online after the fact was, you know, R. Bill Simmons, which, you know, that it is the name of this podcast, but where, you know, we're living and breathing Bill Simmons. We all came together and said, Russillo knocked it fucking out of the park by bringing in CP3 and having a sold out show. I mean, this guy, you can't say anything negative about this guy tonight. He totally crushed it.
Yeah, it was massive. Huge hit, huge get for them. Yeah, I mean, like you said, it's his apex mountain. And I'm really glad to have seen it live. It was great.
All right, so anything else we need here? I'm trying to go through. So I guess the so Rosilla, it was the meet and greet, but there wasn't any like, drinks after, and Rosilla was hanging around. So there was a moment to kind of have the meet and greet, but there wasn't maybe there wasn't a like a more casual hangout later to kind of to get more into the vibe of Rosilla.
There was, I didn't stick around for it. So
Oh,
at
there
the
was.
beginning,
Okay, interesting.
well, when they did the meet and greet, he was kind of like, if you're looking at the stage, he's off to the right. And the front section was split up into two sections. So there was a line coming down on the right side and a line coming down in the middle, kind of curving in front of the stage to get him. And they had to cut that off, like the meet and greets off at one point to get started with the pod. He did mention he was like, hey, like we're gonna finish up with the meet and greets after, so stick around. But I had already met him, so I got out of there at that point. But yeah, I think if you wanted to, you could have definitely hung around and met him again or snapped out the picture or something.
That makes sense. And then yeah, it seemed like most people came probably by themselves, maybe with a buddy or two. I mean, it did seem like maybe there could have been a couple of dates, but in general, probably just people in the city wanting to see their guy and just roll on through.
Yeah, it was a lot of guys like coming off of work, for sure. A lot of guys with backpacks. Yeah, there was that one Q&A where the guy he came with his girlfriend, which was really funny. And they like were right up front too, which I thought was hilarious. So, yeah, that it was definitely the vibe of like, oh, like after work, kind of meet up. Like there were some, yeah, bunch of groups of guys there.
Well, and what I love too is the people that were commenting on Twitter about that video, and people were hating on the backpacks, clearly signaling that
Oh,
they
really?
lived in the city because backpacks are extremely effective in terms of transporting goods and services from to and from work. So don't even give me that.
Yeah, that's interesting. I didn't see that, but yeah, I didn't look at it. Nothing looked out of place for me being in New York.
No, yeah, I was looking at the quote tweets, because I think I that Twitter account that tweeted the video had like 15 followers. I had been following them because I follow people that talk about Simmons, so I immediately had to retweet that. I'm like, that's a baller that they're discussing this, and then like all the kind of the big aggregating Simmons accounts, which admittedly I'm a part of now. They kind of got in their comments on it and retweeted it and whatnot. But yeah, some people were commenting like, why do these people have backpacks? They have backpacks because if you're riding a subway, it's much more useful to have a backpack transporting what you need than having to carry something. So for all the listeners
Yeah.
out there that thought about that, that's the lowdown.
I mean, that person has just never been in Midtown at 6 p.m. on a Tuesday in the summer, I guess.
Yeah, exactly, right, exactly. All right, nice man. Okay, so yeah, if yeah, I think we pretty much covered it. Anything else before we move on here?
So there was one guy, and I'm pretty sure this got cut out. I was trying to figure this out earlier today, but there was one guy that came up for the Q&A section. So remember when I said like Ryan at one point kind of went backstage and then came back out like after the guest was there during the Q&A session? So I'm pretty sure they cut this out, but there was a guy that went up there and was like, "Hey, I just wanted to ask Ryan, like, what is it like having your boss go after your ex-girlfriend?" Talking about the Bill Simmons and Meghan Markle thing. But what the so he got up there and it was just Ryan and Cerruti. Or sorry, Kyle and Cerruti. And he was like, well, this is awkward. My question was really more for Ryan. So he asked them and they're like, yeah, I don't know what to say. And then so he like left and then like he was walking back down the line. And then Ryan came back out and he like went back to the front and he asked him. And Ryan just kind of stood there and everyone laughed. And Ryan was like, yeah, I guess like get your bag, you know? But I'm pretty sure they cut that out.
Oh, interesting. Well, yeah, because we're seeing these videos of, Simmons. They're asking him for a comment on. Did you see that video of him in the parking garage?
Yeah, what was the soundtrack that was overlaid on that? It was very random.
Oh, from The Social Network? Yeah, that was a
Yeah,
meme.
that's what it was. I was like, that's it was, did you do that?
Someone just made that. Yeah, that was an edited video of the General Daily Mail video.
Okay, yeah, that's the first thing I noticed. That's hilarious.
Okay, yeah, so someone remixed that and posted it on the Bill Simmons subreddit. But yeah, I mean, with Simmons, like what I've been saying and speculating on is that maybe he is in a little bit of hot water over the comments for a variety of reasons, but you know, one being he's now known as this top Spotify executive, so it's not great if you have Spotify not being talent friendly to performers on their network. And then second, you've got the Ari Emanuel connection, where the same agency that Bill is at, Meghan Markle just hired to rehabilitate her image. So you have this agency trying their hardest to help Meghan out in a time of need, and then Bill just buries her. So I'm wondering if that's why, when Russillo and the editors were putting out the pod, yeah, maybe let's take out any reference to Meghan Markle to be safe.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think with that whole situation, it's kind of much ado about nothing. I don't think that anyone from Spotify is ever going to bring that up ever again. And the editing out kind of cemented my thoughts there. But yeah, I feel like that's going to ultimately amount to nothing. And they got their bag. That's all you can ask for.
Yeah, and frankly, you know, if you compare what they did for Spotify versus what Bill did for HBO with Any Given Wednesday, it's honestly that not that much different. And you know, to be fair to Bill, I'm sure he put in a lot more effort, but at the end of the day, what was the content produced? So you know, you could call them grifters, but you know, part of that is Spotify then didn't have a good contract, right? If they were signed to this massive contract but only produced a few episodes, that kind of is on Spotify to a degree that they just signed a bad deal.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
So you can't be a grifter. It's hard to be a grifter if you are doing whatever the deal says. So I don't know. And I saw stuff that 20 million was the max they could make, but because they only did a few episodes, they didn't make as much, which I think is the same thing for Bill. That's kind of what the thought process was with him, where the headline was, I think, like Bill was making 7 million a year for HBO, but that was if Any Given Wednesday was still going, and obviously it didn't go after the first year.
Well, do you think that the reason that Bill Simmons said that comment was because of the contract, because of the what I've seen is like the alleged like Megan would have her like assistant interview someone and then they'd like replace the assistant's voice with Megan, or because of the Zoom call that Bill had with Prince Harry? Like what part of that do you think Bill is, or all of the above? Like what part do you think he's talking about
Yeah,
there?
it's a really good question. I do think all of the above, but I think Bill 100% is easily offended and holds grudges. So he has a big ego, which look like a lot of people do. So I'm not totally hating on Bill when I say that. I'm just kind of stating it as a matter of fact. So when Bill goes on to talk to Prince Harry and say, "Hey man, here's you know, I'm being sent from Spotify. Let's have this connection. I can help you with ideas." And if Harry's not into his ideas, I do think Bill could get very upset by that. I think that happened with CeCe Sabathia. There was this article out there that when they were at the Ringer, Bill was giving CeCe advice. CeCe didn't take his advice, and sooner or later, CeCe was off the Ringer podcasting network. So I think the same thing could have been had for Harry. Now, as for why they're being called grifters, yeah, that to me is a little bit more of a question, because I totally get Bill being mad at them. Maybe what's happening is, because see, this is the age old, this is the debate right now that's hot on this show, at least. The debate that's hot is Bill actually doing anything for Spotify? And we don't know, because he is this head of podcast monetization and innovation. But is that just a title and name only, or is Bill actually being paid maybe even more than what his typical employment contract is to build up the Spotify business? And if that's the case, which I still doubt, but if that is the case, then I 100% understand the grifter comment, because Bill's pissed that they're not monetizing the Harry and Meghan podcast effectively because they almost didn't do any podcasts. And so him as the head of monetization innovation, that's annoying for him trying to grow the business. So that could be one area I could see it, but I don't know. I still like, do you think Bill is doing much for Spotify beyond his podcast?
That's a good question. I mean, I know a couple of weeks ago he mentioned, I forgot what guest he had on his podcast, but he mentioned that Spotify was looking into doing something with AI and ads. So I would assume so, but I don't know how that corporate structure works. Like, is he the ideas guy or is he the, you know, is he the project guy? Is he the execution guy? I don't know to what end that is, but I mean, if I was Spotify, I'd want to hear his thoughts for sure. And I'd want to, you know, have him in the brain trust and run stuff by him. So yeah, I'm not sure.
Well, and maybe the grifter comment, maybe that came from a Spotify meeting. Maybe Bill is talking with other executives at Spotify. You've got all the big podcast people. And maybe those people are saying, yeah, they didn't intend for this to be public, but maybe they said like, yeah, they're fucking grifters. We signed them to a $20 million deal and they produced 12 episodes for us. And they were mostly crap. And Meghan was doing it with she was, as you said, Meghan was doing it with, she wasn't actually interviewing with the person. She was doing it with their assistant. So maybe it's a case of like Bill was recently in a Spotify meeting and he has the fucking grifters in his head. And we all know Bill, he's not totally the best with vocabulary and he can very much get on a, I mean, this guy gets a phrase like chainsaw in the bathtub, but he says it every pod for 2 months. So if fucking grifters is in his vocabulary in his head, he very easily could have just blurted that out on the pod and he just heard it a week ago at a Spotify meeting. So yeah, it's very curious. And I said this for the last pod and I'll say it again here. You know, if anyone listening works for Spotify and is interested in giving us information, like we're happy to hear it because I would love to know what Bill Simmons is doing at Spotify. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, for sure.
Word. All right. So let's get a little bit of a background for you and your Cillo fanhood and your Simmons fanhood. So what came first and who would you say you're a bigger fan of now?
Good question. I don't remember which one I started listening to first, but I do remember, you know, I think it was, it actually might have started with Bill, but I'd say I'm definitely more of a Russillo fan. Their Sunday night NBA podcasts are like my all time favorite podcast episodes. I think they both know more than they're leading on, obviously, but I think that Bill is not as hesitant as Ryan to like allude to information. And I think that Ryan kind of gives Bill a lot of the nuance that he's missing in a lot of cases and kind of walks Bill away from the Homer angle in a lot of cases as well. So yeah, I mean, trade value, the pyramid, just anything to do with NBA. I'm all ears with both of them.
Nice. And you know, a conversation we've been having a lot is, some people are thinking a couple things about the Russillo and Bill pods. One is that the chemistry is not as high as it used to be. So the idea is that when they were doing them in person in 2019, they just started, it was fresh. Obviously, pandemic happens, back to video. But now in 2023, maybe they're not as into it as they used to be. And maybe they're starting to get a little bit sick of it or bored of it doing it every week. Would you agree with that? It sounds like you probably don't.
That's a good question. I haven't noticed any kind of chemistry hangups in that regard. I mean, I think that part of that is, to be honest, like we kind of just had a pretty boring NBA playoffs. I mean, I'm really happy for the Nuggets. I wanted them to win when we started the playoffs. And the Heat have an incredible story. But if you're not an NBA fan, like you probably didn't really pay attention to the finals and maybe even some of the conference finals, especially because Lakers got swept. And I mean, the Celtics was interesting, but it never really felt like they were actually going to win, in my opinion. But I mean, I think that that's just kind of they've kind of been building up to the draft tomorrow. Seems to be like there's going to be some interesting stuff going down, but yeah, I wonder if that's just a symptom of a slower NBA postseason. I mean, and I think it was last week on Ryan's podcast, Kyle mentioned that Bill's going to take like a month and a half off. So I have no doubt in my mind that when he comes back from his vacations, that they'll pick it up right where they left off.
Oh shit, when is Bill taking that month and a half off?
I don't remember exactly, but I think it was at the beginning of the Life Advice last Thursday, I think. And he just mentioned that Bill, I think Bill's taking like 6 weeks off, maybe or something, maybe
Oh,
four to
that is,
six. I don't
I
remember.
mean, I just think that's fantastic for our podcast because people are going to be craving Bill Simmons content, and so maybe the sub will finally turn pro the RBS podcast. But yeah, I'm trying to think of why he's doing that. And look, like Bill already got his bag, so he's fine. The thing that's tough about doing that though is that podcast listeners like are habitual, right? So they get into habits. And if Simmons isn't there for 1.5 months, yes, people will obviously come back and they will, Cousin Sal pods in the fall are going to be great. So people will come back for that. But it's not the greatest decision to grow your listeners to take 6 weeks off, right?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, consistency is key. That's a great point. I don't know how they're going to fill that time. I know that Ryan has a lot of those book interviews saved up, which, I'll be the first to admit, not my favorite segments that he's done. But yeah, with Bill, I'm not really sure, because with Bill's, I don't think he really does anything like Ryan, where he kind of talks to an author. I know he kind of had in the past, but pretty much everything that I can remember over the last like year or two has been current day events, whether that's Elon buying Twitter, or obviously NBA, NFL, or I think he had the guy from the town, Matthew Filoni, I think is his name.
Baloney,
Yes.
felony, baloney, something with a B, yeah.
He had him on a couple weeks ago to talk writer's strike. So he's always kind of thinking current. But so yeah, I'm really not sure what. I know he's taken breaks in the past, but month and a half is a long time. So I hope that he's got something queued up.
Well, he's in as I call it, he's Bill Simmons expiring contract and keep cashing them checks mode. Which, look, he's a legend. I can't totally hate it, but he's clearly on the back nine of his career, because if you were trying to fight for that number one podcasting spot versus PMT and you were trying to cultivate your listener base, you would not take 6 weeks off. So like we kind of got off, I just when I hear something like that, that to me feels like somebody that already got paid, which again, fine. I guess I can't totally hate it, but it's just it's interesting, and I kind of wonder what Spotify feels like it. If I'm Spotify, they probably in the contract, Simmons probably has to do X amount of pods. So he's probably just fulfilling that. Maybe he does 3 a week for, 30 weeks, 30, 40 weeks a year, and then he's able to take those 6 weeks off doing none. And also Simmons, like post NBA, I mean, this guy, he doesn't talk baseball at all anymore. He hasn't even had Jacko on once. I mean, how hard would it be for old Simmons to call up his buddy Jacko in July and talk Yankee Sox for an hour? That's a podcast, but
Yeah,
he
for
doesn't know how to
sure.
do it.
I mean, one thing that's different, I think, about Bill's podcast is he does attract kind of an older listening base compared to like Part of My Take, which is the other one that you mentioned. Like my mom will listen to Bill Simmons a lot, but there's no way my mom would ever listen to Part of My Take.
Oh, that's interesting. Now, do you listen to Part of My Take as well?
I do, yes.
Oh, nice. Okay, so this is very good then. So, Part of My Take, Russillo and Simmons podcast. Do you have a favorite of them? Do you have a favorite during a certain time period? Like, does it depend on what the guest is? Like, what are you first popping on when you get those pods when they come in?
I think it has to do with timing. Part of My Take comes out in the morning, so I'll listen to that first, typically. And then Bill Simmons sometime after that. And then Ryan Russillo's comes out later. So usually like at the end of the day or like when I'm working out after work. So I think it kind of all depends on timing, but like there are some segments in Part of My Take, or in Bill Simmons Pod, like I'm not really that big into golf. I'll kind of skip the golf stuff. So it just kind of depends who their guests are, that episode.
Yeah, what is your assessment of how each, I guess maybe compare PMT with Simmons, because I don't listen to PMT too much. I'll listen for guests here and there, but when I was listening to them and when I listen occasionally, it does seem like they have a much better variety of guests. They try to get more interesting interviews than just a general monotonous interview. And they do like to keep the show more fresh than what Simmons does. Is that a fair assessment in your view?
I think so. I think PMT are also way better interviewers.
Yes.
Maybe not way better, but their cadence with each other, with Big Cat and PFT, their cadence is pretty incredible. And I think that they can have just about anyone on and like find an angle and laugh with them. Like I remember they had one of the Shark Tank guys on, Damon, I think is his name. And like that's an interview that I mean, I've watched some Shark Tank, but I never really would have thought that that would have been a great interview. And they like were making him laugh the whole time, but they were talking about like finance stuff. Like he had a book to promote about finance, and yeah, I think they're really versatile, and they always do have that sports angle that they can kind of come back on if they need to. But yeah, I think PMT definitely skews younger, like I said, but they're. They probably have they're they seem to be more of the show that that they want to fill time with their interviews. And Bill, I don't think he necessarily wants to do that. I mean, he's got a bunch of great friends that he can bring on the pod, and he can definitely like call on KOC, Chris Vernon, Rajah Bell, any of the Ringer basketball guys when the basketball season is happening, or even when the basketball season isn't happening. So yeah, I think it just kind of depends of like really time of year with both of them.
Yeah, I agree. I think Bill's pod, back, 'cause he was the he really he wasn't only the top sports podcast when he started, but he kind of was the top podcast in general when he started. So Bill was always he was great because he was the first podcast that would have celebs on for long form interviews. So typically we're only hearing from celebs in the 7-minute sound bites on late night shows. So when Bill started, I do think he was hungrier, he was more prepared, and he was a better interviewer. He listened more, didn't interrupt, had great questions prepared. But what was also great for him in those early days was that he was the first one doing the career retrospective for a lot of these actors and musicians. And that was fantastic because we heard all this new stuff. So that skill set that he developed, he used that for them. He used that with some of the NBA players that would come on. But I think the problem with him in 2023 is that every actor has been on at least one podcast, and really they've been on several to go through the career retrospective. They don't need to do that again. They don't want to do that again. It's boring. So the PMT guys, like you said, they have an angle that they want to get to with the guest. They make the guest laugh. They keep it fresh and light. In 2023, I think that's the type of interview you have to do if you're going to be doing interviews. And so that's why I think with PMT, of course, they keep on doing interviews and it's great. But with Bill, he really doesn't do them because he's not the kind of guy that's going to be able to pull off PMT type interview. I listened to the Mike McDaniel one the other day on PMT. And that guy, if you hear him talk, he is kind of dry and monotone and whatnot, but they got a lot of great stuff out of him, and it was a hilarious interview. I'm trying to picture him with Bill, and I think that just would have been a disaster.
Yeah, that's a great point. I totally agree.
Yeah, it's and it's the PMT guys. Like I remember the whole They go to visit Aaron Rodgers. You know, that's something Bill would never do. Like, Bill's not traveling. So, again, different parts of their career, Big Cat and PFT are hungrier. But if you're trying to make this great product, like, and you're ahead of a guy at Spotify, you know, your number one sports podcast at Spotify is not as good as the number one sports podcast PMT, or at least to many people, it isn't.
Definitely. Is his podcast technically labeled as sports?
Oh,
Is it?
Bill. I mean, even you asking that is like sad for Bill. I have to be, I think, right?
Yeah, that's probably a dumb question. But I also think of it as like, yeah, I guess that, yeah, it definitely is. Now I'm thinking about it. I was just thinking of like when he'll have like Matthew Bellamy on or Bellamy. Or like someone else like that on, but yeah, it definitely is. Yeah, I don't. I
Yeah.
what's funny is I don't even really think of it as a sports podcast though. Like I just think of it as like a current news kind of, you know, like if let's say that an Apple, this whole thing with him and Meghan Markle and Prince Harry was, it was like Prince Harry, Meghan Markle, and like I don't know, Tim Cook or something. Like he would for sure talk about it, you know.
Yeah. But I think, yeah, the thing, he used to have better current events guests on. He would have different guys on. He'll have Derek Thompson on now, which, you know, again, Ringer guy. But yeah, like you said, he's for the NBA season, he's mostly having on the Ringer guys. He's having on his friends. He is not at all, he could have on such a different variety of guests, and he doesn't. So, you know, that's part, again, it's like, you know, I think he lost his booking agent to, like, Tommy Alter went to the Reddit JJ Redick podcast. Like, that people said that was a big deal when that happened. But yeah, speaking of the town, wanted to hit on this. So you're a fan of that show as well.
Yes, I am.
All right. So do you yeah, so you like following kind of the media trends and all that stuff?
Yes, definitely. And I guess instead of tech and business, media is the word that I would categorize Bill Simmons' podcast.
Yeah.
I don't want your listeners to think I'm dumb and don't know my podcast categories.
Nice, love it. Yeah, so Baloney, I like the pod too. I mean, I think he, you know what I like about him is that I do think he pushes back well on guests without being an asshole,
Yeah, for sure.
which I actually think, like, that's not the easiest strategy. That's not easiest to convey, because, like, I remember he had, like, do you know who Rich Greenfield is?
I do not.
Okay, so Rich Greenfield is this stock analyst, and he's uber bullish on Netflix, and he basically hates everybody else. So for whatever reason, this has been going on for years. So there is a podcast that Rich came on to Matt's podcast, I think at the end of 2022, and Rich has been cheerleading for Netflix for years, and 2022 was a really rough year for Netflix stock and for Netflix in general, and they lost subscribers. And it was a really great pod where Rich was just in uber spin mode saying everything that had happened to Netflix, he had an explanation for it. And Matt just pushed back in every single one of those, but he did it in a nice way and a way that didn't really anger him. So I think that's an extreme example, but, you know, him and Lucas Shaw disagree plenty of times and they're fine. It makes for good camaraderie. I like a lot of the kind of recurring guests he brings on. And he is actually a Hollywood insider. He has Inside Scoop. I subscribe to Puck, where he I think is a founding member, and he writes. And this guy's legitimately in the Hollywood circles. I mean, he was editor in chief or some editor of some kind for the Hollywood Reporter. He's got tons of sources. So, like, if I want to give Bill props, which we do, like on this pod, we're going to give Bill props when he deserves them. That has been a fantastic addition to the Ringer audio files, I think. I think that's been great.
Yeah, it did great, good for them. And I think it kind of fills a hole between kind of the, you know, like Spotify and, or I mean, Ringer's got Rewatchables and the Prestige TV pod, their movie, The Big Picture. But I think it kind of expands on the need for like current media, kind of what's happening and, a little bit of like the social mediaification of content as well.
He does a good at bringing on a decent variety of guests because he'll bring on Lucas, who kind of comes at media from the business side. How is this affecting their bottom lines? What are the stock prices and all that? But then he has the strategy people like Julia Alexander, writes for Puck as well. He'll have her on. And then he has the actual Hollywood insiders and sometimes talent on. So he really runs the full gamut. And I just think it's, I'm not going to say I listen to 100% of the episodes, but I'm definitely above 50%, the vast majority, and most of them give you pretty good info. And I would include, I think he's been pretty good on the writer strike lately. So yeah, like you said, it's a really nice addition to, if you're covering pop culture, sports, and tech, a lot of those people I think will be interested in media and will like this podcast. And I think it does well because on one of the last time Baloney was on Bill's pod, they were teasing how the Ringer and the Town are going to do more pods together. And I think that's absolutely a smart idea.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's a great idea. I'd really love to hear some of the other media personalities on the town. Like I was really happy to see Bill bring Matthew Bellany on his pod last week.
And Bill loves talking with Matt.
Yeah, I think Bill just likes talking with anyone that knows their stuff, which is great as a listener. And he's got opinions about a lot of stuff, and I think he kind of he's knows more than he's gonna tell us, and he kind of knows how to get that out of other people as well that are in the same position as him.
Yeah, and he'll be funny about he'll want one scoop from Matt, and he'll give him something, but Bill really feels like he's talking to a streaming expert in the space, and it is. And then what's fun too is what, and this is why I've been liking the Bill and Windhorse podcasts lately, is that Bill kind of comes off with a zany idea, and Matt and Windhorse in this example, like they'll run with it to an extent. But they can also reel Bill back in a little bit and like kind of make it more realistic. Like, okay, yeah, maybe in an extreme scenario, this could happen, but this is maybe more likely. And I think that's in the 2023 iteration of Bill, that's probably the best kind of guess for him, where you're like, all right, I know Bill's wonky. I know he's going to throw out some random stuff. Let me kind of vibe in it for a bit, but I will bring that back to somewhat of reality. And I think that's more entertaining, I think, than someone being way too serious with it and like treating Bill's thing as, oh wow, that's totally unrealistic and that wouldn't happen. Like let's we can have a little fun here.
Yeah, real quick, when was the last time that Zach Lowe was on Bill Simmons' pod? It must have been at least a year, right?
People have been asking questions. What's going on? I don't know.
Those were some of my favorites because Zach can really dig into the specifics on just about anything X's and O's in basketball, which I really love, and how players kind of fit together. And he'll, you read between the lines with him and you can definitely gather some stuff, but and Bill, of course, is just throwing out crazy ideas one by one. I know they did a home and home last year. I really wish that they would do that again this year.
Oh, and their home and homes are going to get, I mean, there's really no reason not to do them. They're going to get massive listenership, right? I mean, everybody who was ever a Zach Lowe fan at Grantland is going to hop onto Bill's pod to listen to that. And then Zach Lowe's pod's going to get a massive influx of listeners because Bill is the number two and number one sports podcast behind PMT. So, I mean, to me, it seems like totally no brainer to do it.
Yeah, for sure. I do wonder how much of the like ESPN kind of narrative is there. I like wonder if Zach's hearing from upstairs at ESPN, like, hey, like maybe just host some of our talent on your pod instead of hopping over to Bill Simmons, you know?
Now, do you listen to Zach Lowe's pod?
I do sometimes. The problem with, I mean, really any sports pods is that you kind of have to listen to them as soon as they come out, or else the content will no longer be relevant. And that's especially true with Zach Lowe. I mean, during the NBA season, they'll talk about like they'll have a Bucks beat reporter in to talk about the next six games, and then the main thing they're talking about is like Bucks Lakers the next day or later that day. So then if I listen to it the next day, it's irrelevant.
Now, would you say that a lot of people have been saying this in the subreddit lately? I don't know if I have the expertise and the listening prowess to know this, but people have said that they feel as though Zach is not loving the ESPNification of his writing and his podcasting.
Oh, interesting. I haven't necessarily gotten that sense. I mean, obviously you've thought a lot more about the kind of the business side of everything than I have, but that's an interesting thought. I wonder what his contract, what it would look like. My assumption is that he kind of wouldn't necessarily be a spot for him at the Ringer. I mean, obviously, like, I'm sure Bill would love to have him, but with KOC, I do wonder if he would be a little redundant there. That's an interesting thought.
Yeah, because I think what they're thinking is they're kind of putting together the pieces of that. Yes, Zach is on TV, but sometimes he will get into arguments with Perk and things like that. And that what Zach will do is he will often, because he knows that the ESPN Plus is having his columns, so they're not widely available. You have to have the subscription. That oftentimes his podcasts are a very close reading of what he's actually writing. So it's almost like he's striking back a bit at ESPN in that, like, okay, well, if you're not going to distribute my column widely, then I'm just going to podcast what I'm writing anyway.
Gotcha. Yeah. That's interesting. And I guess that does speak to, like, it does seem like the format of his podcast these days are, you know, he'll do a quick 10, 15 minute recap of games, and then he'll have on two beat reporters to do a deep dive of a team. He won't necessarily go longer on his own about a certain matchup or a certain narrative.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, I guess the question, like, okay, so you're a big NBA fan, and obviously Zach Lowe is like a great thought leader in the NBA, right? And even you are having a difficult time keeping up with this podcast. Is the NBA media too saturated right now?
That's an interesting question. I'd probably argue yes. I know, so I'm a Mavs fan, believe it or not, based on my username, but there are Mavs podcasts that I don't really have the time to listen to, just because I'm getting my fill with PMT, Simmons and Rosillo, Zach Lowe, and then also like the Ringer NBA show. They do fill in a lot of the cracks that I'd say more narrative wise than Zach Lowe. They kind of fill in the cracks when needed. So yeah, I think that's fair, but I mean, also, like, I think a lot of media saturated right now.
That is a good point. Yes, it's totally saturated. I've seen those. There's these charts that show the number of shows that have been – the number of scripted shows every year. And it went from something like 300 in 2010 to over 600 in 2022. And people – I mean, I would argue they have even less time in the day now to watch – scripted content than they did before. If anything, it's probably similar, but now if you think about people are on TikTok, on Reels, are on Twitter more. So if anything, it's the same amount of time to watch TV at best, but now there's double the amount of TV shows. That's interesting. Now you combine that with sports are the one thing on TV that aren't seeing ratings decline, especially football. So, yeah, there's increasingly not that much time to watch everything and listen to everything. And then that's when Bill would have a guy on like Chuck Klosterman saying that he misses the monoculture where everybody was talking about the similar things. And really that was, you know, when Bill Simmons had Zach Lowe on the BS pod, everybody was racing to listen to that immediately. But like you said, Zach Lowe, if you miss that after a day, hey, like, you know, I don't need to listen to that content because I'll listen to a Mavs podcast or the Ringer NBA show. So yeah, I think you're right. I think it's not only podcasts, but maybe what's different about podcasts is that almost anybody can do it. Like I remember one, man, it must've been several years ago, but Rob Lowe, I think this is what it is. He came on Bill's podcast to promote the launch of his own podcast.
Yes, I remember that. It was the Parks and Rec podcast.
So yeah, so there you have it. We're in 20, like 10 years ago, Bill's having on Rob Lowe. We're all like, great. You know, I love Parks and Rec. It's hilarious. It's probably funner than The Office. In its later seasons, like, great. Like, I'm listening to Rob Lowe get a career retrospective. And now Rob Lowe's got 25 episodes out of his own show. So if I want to hear Rob Lowe, I don't have to go to the Bill Simmons podcast.
Well, I think that's kind of interesting. I was thinking that it's a little bit – podcasts are a little bit – there's more of a barrier to entry in regards to listening. You know, like if you're a fan of the NBA, there's a lot of different NBA podcasts and they can be really specific and cover a lot of stuff. And, you know, there are probably some NBA podcast personalities that you don't like, that you just will not like to listen to. But I think that what's interesting now is like we're seeing, I know there's the Always Sunny guys. It's Always Sunny guys. They have a podcast. I'm a big Veep fan. Two of the guys from that show have a podcast, you know. With Succession rolling out, they had an official Succession podcast. But I think that if you attach podcasts to another IP like that, you have an easier end to getting an audience. But then, of course, you know, it's limited. With sports, it's never going to end. Even in COVID, we had stuff to talk about.
Yes. Have you been listening to that Always Sunny podcast?
No, I haven't watched It's Always Sunny.
Oh, you haven't? Okay. Because one of the interesting things with that podcast, so they're in season 16, I believe it is. And so the concept of that podcast is they go back and watch earlier episodes. And I think this show in particular was much funnier, I'd call it seasons 2 through 8, than 12 through 15. Common for all comedies, but if you're a comedy that's been on for 16 seasons, like, this is unprecedented how long they've been on. So their older seasons are not that good. But what's been interesting is that through the first few shows of this new season, it's the first season they've done after the podcast. The shows are better. And the question is, why are the shows better? Well, probably because they went back and relived why the show was funny in the first place and then had some of those themes and put them into the new season. So it's this really interesting situation of, you know, why did they do the podcast in the first place? Like, did they do it just to, you know, have fun? Did they do it to make money? Did they do it with an eye to improve the show? Maybe. Like, I'm so curious of that, because I do think it has legitimately improved that show, which needed improvement. And in my opinion, is one of the best comedies of all time. But its legacy is declining because it's had a bad few last seasons. So I think they're finally getting back to their roots, but they're doing it in a way where they're, you know, monetizing their IP and making money off this podcast.
Yeah, for sure. That's great point.
Yeah. It's really interesting how they're doing it. All right. So yeah, let's see what else here. The Ringer NBA show, is that KOC and Verno, or does that switch back and forth between people?
Yeah, they kind of have a little bit of like a rotating host. I don't, you know, like Raja Bell is there, Chris Verno, KOC will pop in. They have different shows throughout the week that they will kind of cycle through.
And what's where would you rank the Ringer NBA personalities?
Oh, that's a good question. I mean, Ryan, then Bill, then probably KOC. I really like Raja. Yeah, that's probably my top four. I'm not really sure after that. Verno's pretty good, but he can be more of a Memphis homer than Bill can be a Celtics homer in sometimes.
Wow, that's saying a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, because the reason I'm curious, I'm especially curious of KOC, because there's a couple things with KOC. One is that people say Rob Mahoney is market corrected him as Bill's favorite NBA guy.
Oh, I totally forgot about Rob Mahoney. Yeah, he's really great.
All right. So people like that. So here's what, and people really come out against KOC in the Simmons subreddit, but there's a poster that, maybe like a month ago had this big post about what happened to KOC. And it really went big on Twitter as well when I posted it there because people are fascinated in this. But the general, and I'll read the at the end of it, he goes, "The Ringer was never going to find a Zach Lowe to fill the shoes of Zach Lowe, but whoever is at the Ringer, they need to have a conversation about Kevin, about his work product, instead of Bill just telling Kevin, to do what he does." So basically, the idea here is that KOC not only never developed into Zach Lowe like Bill wanted him to, but maybe is a little bit mediocre. So what would you say in response to that point of view?
I think that is fair, is a fair criticism. A couple years ago, KOC has not been on the pod that recently. And he's definitely more of like a, I think he's being kind of raised as more of like an insider guy than anything, than a take guy.
Interesting. And he clearly does his own pod with Verno pretty consistently.
Yes.
Okay, so you're not disappointed by KOC not living up to what people once thought he should have been.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I guess, yeah, for you, like, because what I'm hearing from you is that you're consuming a pretty decent amount of pods on the NBA. So if KOC is talking about an interesting subject on his show, you listen to that and you'll just kind of bounce around to whatever is most interesting to you. So maybe that's the difference. Maybe you are better with KOC because that's how you consume him versus I think with the other guys, you've got if they're listening to KOC every single pod on Bills, they're just expecting a lot more.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I mean, KOC is on the Ringer pod, I don't know, maybe two or three times a week, and I only listen to those maybe once or twice a week, but yeah.
Gotcha. All right, I know you have got to run in a bit here, so maybe let's end it with this. Let's give a prediction here. What do you think is going to happen at the draft tomorrow? And then any big off-season trade predictions that you got for these next few months?
Oh man, I don't really know the draft past three. It doesn't sound like three. Like I mean, obviously one set, two sounds like they're probably leaning Scoot. If Brandon Miller's at three, I don't know. Portland's just an interesting case because I kind of thought that Dame kind of tanked their leverage the other day when he said when he was, giving out his teams and. I don't know. I just think Dame has said too much, and I think they need to move Dame. And then there's this report that comes out today that they don't want to trade Dame anymore. So I don't know. I kind of feel like he's going to get traded in a package for three, and then three will get sent to Portland, and or sorry, three will Brandon Miller will. Go to a different team, but I don't know where that would be. It doesn't seem like Miami wants to do that, and they're kind of the obvious destination. And Brooklyn seems kind of content with what they have to like kind of run it back with the picks and Bridges. So we'll see. But I think he probably gets moved.
Interesting. Yeah, man, Dame, that would be such a shakeup. If you put Dame on the Heat, man, that's nice.
That's exactly what they need. I think he'd be great.
Yeah, that would be and freaking Simmons, man. Simmons just being haunted by the zombie Heat. If they get Dame, I think he's gonna have another rough May and June in 2024.
Yeah, he definitely called it. I mean, tough playoffs for Bill because of the Celtics, but also like he called the Heat months and months ago. So props to him.
And hey, we have to appreciate how Bill has completely he owns that he became a meme. I mean, that's great, right? Like
Yeah.
he has a sense of humor about it, which hasn't always been Bill's strongest case to have a sense of humor about stuff, but yeah, he does. But yeah, man, this has been a pleasure. Really, really happy to have you on. Really pumped that we got an inside look into the Rosillo Live Pod. And you know, this was great. I think we got the listeners what I don't think they're gonna get this in many other pods, if any other pod. So real big kudos to you, and I appreciate you coming on and spending the time.
Great. Thanks so much for having me.
All right, man. A cheers. And yeah, oh yeah, one final thought. So you're on the sub, you're like checking out the sub. What's your situation there? You're lurking?
Yeah, I'm not really on Reddit. I'm more of a Twitter guy, but well, I mean, yeah, when it comes to NBA, I'm more on Twitter, but I have seen the sub a little bit.
Okay. Well, I would recommend, I have to be looking out for the sub. Just pop in every now and then. I'll be posting the stuff on Twitter as well, but pop in. But yeah, with that, man, you know, we'll see the listeners out there. We'll see you on the sub. We'll see you on Twitter, and cheers and have a good night.
Thanks so much, fam.
All right, peace.